Well, good to see all of you back here. We will carry on study the scriptures from the book of Ecclesiastes. And I think the challenge is always to keep learning, keep reflecting. We just had a Sunday school retreat. And I think one of the things that we learned at this Sunday school retreat was to take time to be still, to be sensitive to the Lord's leading. I think that's one of the challenges about serving or ministering in wherever we are. If you don't take the time to be with the Lord and to seek Him and to hear what He has to say to us, our ministry will not go beyond a certain level. And one of the things that I would encourage all of you to do, every time you learn a lesson, take the time to reflect. If you don't take the time to reflect or to remember, the lessons are not going to be part of your life. And if it is not part of your life, it's not going to come to help you and be enriched further as you come across certain lessons or truths that are similar. And there are times when you reflect, it's going to come back to you. It's going to help you and encourage you. And the Lord is going to help you find and discover truths from the Word of God. And I think one of the ways is to constantly reflect, to remember the lessons that you are learning. Okay? Well, let's pray and ask the Lord to bless us as we start YAG meetings again. Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this privilege of studying and knowing your Word and discovering your truths. We pray, dear Father, that you will help us to be able to respond to it with greater effort by reflecting, by thinking through, and imbibing them into our lives. We pray, dear Lord, that you will bless this time as we once again study your Word, and may the book of Ecclesiastes continue to challenge us to live for you. And we ask for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, let's take a bit of time to review Ecclesiastes 6. I won't review the earlier chapters, but let's take a bit of time to just review Ecclesiastes 6. And in Ecclesiastes 6, in chapter 5, sorry, I have this cough that I've been dealing with the past 1 week. I got it from Pastor Mark, so I blame him. He had it when he was away, when I came, and then when I came back, and then he passed it to me. See, twins must share everything. So germs also we share. I went to see Daniel, and he feels that this is a microplasma thing. Yeah, so don't come too close to me. Should be okay. Whole weekend of speaking, so just gonna trust the Lord for it. Okay, so in chapter 6, before that, we talked about how God is sovereign. God is sovereign over all things. He gives that power to gain riches and to eat of it. And He also gives the power to gain riches and not to eat of it. Right? And a foreigner consumes it. And then we talked about the issue of the soul. Now, one of the things that we will see as we move on in the book of Ecclesiastes is you see Solomon's awareness of his own soul, right? And I think that's something that we all want to consider. Are you aware of the needs of your own soul? Do you understand your own soul? I mean, we understand our own physical needs. We understand after a while what we like to eat, what we don't like to eat, what's good for us, what's not good for us. We understand physical things in life that we need, right? But then, how about the needs of your soul? Do you understand the needs of your soul? Do you understand your soul? Or is it just so-so? You know, I think it's important for us to understand the needs of our own soul. And if you don't fully understand, then it's something for us to raise up. But how do we understand the needs of the soul? And that's something that Solomon is beginning to be aware of, right? So he considers the issue of the soul. The soul is not satisfied with goodness. It is better to be a stillborn baby. Solomon continues to have a very dismal view of life. Now, we come to Ecclesiastes 6, verse 7. And let me just read this for you. All the labor of man is for his mouth. Is that true? We all work hard so that we can eat. You know, there's this phrase that says some live to eat and some eat to live. So what are you? Do you eat to live or do you live to eat? You eat all the time, right? Even at work. Do you get a taste of food? You get a taste of food. So yours is really making a living from eating. Huh? Both eat to live and live to eat. So, okay, here is a person who labors his heart. You know, he thinks of, he works so that he can enjoy the physical things of life. Okay? So there are some people in this world, they, or even us along the way, we work hard so that we can enjoy the things of life. And I'm sure during the holidays, school holidays, some have gone overseas. Some live for that. I've come across people when I'm overseas, they say that, oh, I work very hard, 6 months, so that I can earn enough to go and I save up so that I can go on a holiday. Right? Some people do that. They live for that. Or they live to experience certain things that they want to do in life. So they like to go hiking in the Alps. They like to go on, you know, paragliding or parachuting or, you know, the adrenaline things that they all like to do in life. So, you know, if they don't do these things, and yet after doing all these things, they are not satisfied. Right? All the labor of man is for his mouth, yet the soul is not satisfied. What is it that brings satisfaction to the soul? So here is Solomon. He's grappling with this idea. I mean, I can work hard. I can eat all the things that I have. Of course, for Solomon, he can eat all the things in life. He has tasted everything. I'm sure he has tasted caviar. He has tasted everything in life. Recently, before I went to see Dr. Daniel on Thursday, I was at this fusion restaurant at along Thompson. It's called something Bistro. Anybody on Thompson, living near Thompson? Can't remember what's the first part. Philo Bistro. Have you all tried it? And it's a fusion between Chinese and Chinese food. It's a fusion Chinese food. So they had this char siu, pasta, something like that. Char siu with pasta. Oh, it looked really nice. All the reviews say very good. So I went all the way there, wanted to try it before I go and see Dr. Daniel. Since I'm already sick myself, and I'm going to be take medicine after this. And the fellow said, oh, we only serve it for dinner. Alamak, what a waste. You know, but I did try something else. What did I try? You see, I forgot, right? You see, I really forgot what I ate. Okay, never mind. Doesn't matter. It wasn't very impressive. But anyway, you know, we go and try. We all try different things in life. And we all feel that, what is it that we are looking for? Are these things meant to satisfy the soul? See, so he's asking, what is it that actually satisfies the soul? Right? Okay, then he goes on to talk. He says, what more has the wise man than the fool? What does the poor man have who knows how to walk? Okay? So now he looks at life. He looks at perspective in life and death. Right? He looks at the poor man. Now, he has dealt with these things before. The poor man, the wise man, and then the fool. What is it that's the difference? Right? And then he goes, what does the poor man have who knows how to walk before the living? So he's asking himself, no difference in death, right? Whether being wise or being a fool, being rich or poor, there is no difference in death. Now, in Ecclesiastes 2, he has dealt with this before, right? It's one of the things that he grapples with, death. During the week, there was this Liverpool superstar, Diogo Jota, who died in a car crash. I mean, he is at the peak of his career. He's doing well for Liverpool. They won the Premier League this year. And all of a sudden, his life is just gone. Together with his brother, they were driving a Lamborghini. And then along the way, something happened. At midnight, they were driving and they crashed and they both died. And then that's it. Are you sad? Are you a Liverpool fan? You're quite sad, huh? Yeah, I'm sure. It's one of those things in life. So you look at life. One moment, you're at the top of your game, and then the next moment, you're gone. Right? No difference. Okay? Between the rich and the poor. Now, what really matters in life? The rich man and the poor man. So the rich man has wealth. He has even wisdom to obtain it. The poor man may not have much. So some of us who are a bit richer, some of us are poorer. But what is it that really matters in life? Right? Does it mean that a poor man cannot have a meaningful life? The answer is, of course, no. The poor man can still have a good and meaningful life because he walks right before men. He's walking right before men. Okay? And because he walks right before men, he can still have a meaningful life. Can you see? I think that's important for us to consider. And then he goes on to say, so he's talking about these things, not satisfied with food, with physical things, and then he goes on to say this statement in chapter 6, in verse 9. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Well, what do you think that means? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. And I think that's something we want to discuss this afternoon. Right? Better is the sight of the eye. What does that mean? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Better is the sight of the eye. What do you think that means? Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Anybody? Sight of the eyes? What does it mean? What you? Okay, what do you really have, right? What you possess, what you have in life, right? Rather than the wandering of desire. So it's looking at a present state of our life. It's about being contented with what we have. Okay, so here he talks about, you know, his soul. His soul is not satisfied, right? And then he goes on to talk about life. The rich man and the poor man. He talks about the poor man. He knows what to do in life. And then he makes this statement, better is the sight of the eye than the wandering of desire. So now he's talking about the heart. How the heart can sometimes desire certain things in life. And because of this desire, the heart wanders. Okay? There's a wandering of desire. There is certain things that he is focused on. He wants certain things. He wants to have more in life. Right? He's not happy. He's not happy about the present state of his life. And so this is caused by the heart's wandering to have more. And he's always looking at the next thing, the next best thing, or to look at the next best dish, or to look at the something that we are looking for or wanting physically in life, material things. See, one of the things about when you start having more money, when you start earning money, there comes that desire to want to have more, right? There comes that desire of not just being satisfied with what we have in life. Okay, and he calls this futility. So a person can end up not being satisfied with life, with himself, with life, with his situation. And then he also sees the need of the soul. How the soul needs something more than just looking at all these things in life. Okay? So today we're going to break up into groups. The guys I'll take, and then the ladies, you all can go into your different groups. Hi. We're going into groups for discussion. Okay? And basically we are just talking about the issue of contentment and discontentment, satisfaction, dissatisfaction. Are you satisfied with the things of life that you have, or you're not satisfied, or you're discontented with certain things in life? And I think one of the issues behind this is the soul. Do you understand the needs of the soul? Okay? So, well, just two questions. One, are you aware of the deeper needs of the soul? Okay. Do you know how to stop the heart from wandering with worldly desires? And I'm sure we all got our own worldly desires. We all have our own worldly inclinations. I don't think everyone here has no worldly desires. I'm sure we all struggle with that from one time or to the other. If we are honest with ourselves. And I think there are times also we can struggle with discontentment. Okay, let's go to our groups. Let's have some time to discuss or to think through this. If you are really satisfied with life, you have no discontentment, you're really, really happy, then okay, they will come back. They will talk about something else. But I think we all struggle. I think we all struggle with certain things in life, isn't it? Okay, let's go to our groups and then let's have a bit of discussion and then we'll come back to this.
Yeah, so the first one is a bad kind of desire. Yeah, I mean, just example. The second one is more of ambition. You see a particular goal that you want to reach that you don't think you're at now, and you want to reach it, and you are discontent with what you're like now. For example, your skills, your ministry, and then you want to go in that way. So then, is there a distinction between the two? Is one better than the other? So let's say for ambition wise, maybe at work, you want to do more. Like at the surface, it's not a bad thing to want to do more. But you're discontent with like what you're doing lah, and you want to do more. Yeah. Yeah, I think we were wondering in the context of this verse. Like, because it's like quite categorical. Better is the sight of the eyes than the wandering of desire. Like, better that you see what you have before you rather than you wander and look for other things. So, but if I wander and look for other things that are good, does that make a difference?
So, the question is, how do you see, ambition in life? And I think the challenge is to be able to balance it out with Christian principles and personal ideas, right? If we got to see it in a way where it can align. And I think before we talk about personal ambition, I think the challenge is to have Christian ambition first. And I think the challenge is to always put the Lord first. If you put the Lord first, then you bring in your own ambition, it should work out in a way where you can still be happy with your life wherever you are. But if you put personal ambition first without Christian principles and Christian way of living, then you're going to end up being very unhappy with the whole situation all the time. So you got to balance it very carefully. Because if you don't balance it carefully, you're going to end up with problems. You're going to end up with a wandering of desire. You're going to end up, you know, I was just telling them that in the environment that we work in life, it is actually an environment of darkness. It is a worldly, many worldly influence that come when you talk to people. Someone was just telling me when my group, you know, because I talk to someone, does someone tell me all the different things, I become affected by it. And that is usually the case when you are having lunch, when you are having dinner, when your colleagues, when you are having a drink, they tell you, wow, you know, these are the things that I want to do, these are the things I want to achieve, these are the things that I have. In that environment of darkness, darkness is going to affect you. And it creeps in. It's going to cause you to have worldly ideas after a while. Right? And then when you look at material things, you notice empty is empty. Huh? And it's also my initials, Mitchell Tan. So I prefer PM, Pastor Mitch. My initials, MT. When I was in Air Force, they put your initials, MT. Oh, I better not put MT. Right, so I put my Chinese name, TSK. Yeah, I won't tell you what it is. Right? So it's very important that you balance it very carefully. Because the moment you just put ambition alone, there's nothing wrong with wanting to do better. There's nothing wrong with wanting to excel in life. In fact, the Lord wants us to excel in life. I think there are wonderful examples who have people who have excelled in life, like Daniel, Joseph, these are wonderful examples of people who have done well. Luke, the physician. I mean, he's a doctor and yet he's a person who went with Paul on mission trip. But he's still a doctor. He has done well in his life. Right? So it doesn't mean that we cannot do well in life. Your parents have done well. You know, they are good examples in church. This coming Friday, I'm going for a special parade for Yuchai. You know Yuchai? Yuchai, he's going to be, you know, commander of a very special submarine. So I'm just going to go with him. I went for your father's when he was... Were you there? When he had this... when he became the chief of Navy. Right? So we all do well in life. There's nothing wrong with doing well in life. But where is your heart? If your heart wanders and it ends up with all kinds of desires, that's where the problem is. Can you see that? And I think that's important. In all purity of heart and mind, the best case scenario is seek first the kingdom of God. I don't worry about everything else. Best case scenario is I just do it for the Lord. Whether I get promoted, whether things work out, doesn't matter to me. So the thing is, the issue here at the end of the day is that will you end up being unhappy? If you end up being unhappy with the state that you are, where you are in, I mean, if it's a really, really horrible place to work in, sure, of course. But if you are unhappy because you're not being promoted, you know, there are certain issues in the working place that it's okay to live with, but you are still unhappy with it, then you got to deal with why. Why is it that we are unhappy? Whereas on the other hand, the Lord wants us to rejoice in many things in life. So these are the physical things of life, right? This is one part of it. But this thing should not cause us to affect our Christian, our faith. To such an extent, this becomes something that makes us very unhappy or dissatisfied. Our faith should be greater than this. Our faith in God, the Word of God. I mean, we talked about this all the time. You all share this openly when you share, when you talk, when you share with people. But this should be the thing that causes the greatest joy. But in real terms, in realistically speaking, sometimes this doesn't, you see. We all struggle. We all struggle with the world. We struggle with our sins. We struggle with self. Can you see? Okay, anything else you want to raise up?
Yeah. So is it that the sight of the eyes means like good?
Yeah, so...
Then wandering of desire is bad.
Yeah, so at this point of time, what he's trying to say is that in whatever state we are, can we be happy with what we have? Can we be thankful? Can we be contented? Can we not lose that sense of joy? That's what he's trying to say. So the present state, wherever you are, can you still be thankful and happy? Or are you trying to look for something else in life that's making you unhappy? And that's causing you to be unhappy. Can you see? So I'm basically talking something deeper. The soul. Right? So the soul is never satisfied. But what is it that brings satisfaction to the soul? Can you see? Okay. Okay, your group, how? Yep. Sorry?
Yesterday was better than today.
Like,
why yesterday?
Like,
today my
wife is
better.
Oh, okay. Sure. So in other words, it's all the things in life, right, that we go through. Sometimes, right, now you got to pay 700,000-800,000 to get a flat. Last time, we only pay 15,000 years ago. Yeah. So that's life. Life hurls at you at different situations, and we all go through it. Well, thank God for the government. They know it. They know that this is a crazy situation. Now, what's a new flat? What does it cost? About 400? 400, 500? 600, 700? You are talking about where? Topayoh, Queenstown?
Huh?
Is it? Sorry? Top 800. Punggol? How much Punggol? Okay lah, let's talk about Tengah. Tengah. Tengah is cheaper, right? Nobody wants to go there. 500 Tengah, my goodness. Last time when I went to Sengkang, nobody wanted to go. Okay? Sorry? When I went to Sengkang, nobody wanted to go there. Okay, same. Now Tengah, nobody wants to go. Yeah, but that's life. I mean, we all go through these different situations in life. Okay, so let me tell you. Okay, we're gonna end soon. But let me tell you how I will approach this, okay? I think we should never be contented with the spiritual state we are in. I think the challenge is always to go on higher. Right? So let's turn to Philippians. I think the challenge is always to to keep going towards, you know, like what Paul said in Philippians 3, where he explained that he is not satisfied, not that already attained or perfected, but I press on. And then he talks about forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, chapter 3, and in verse 13, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Ultimately, that is spiritual maturity, that is ultimately reaching the prize of going to heaven, the crown of life, isn't it? So I think the challenge for us is not just have physical career ambition. I think the challenge for us is to always remember that we must have a Christian ambition. Right? So that's something that we should always have to really keep growing, keep learning, keep going on to the next level of faith, to go up to the high calling of God. But till then, let us, as many are mature, have this mind. If anyone thinks otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we already attain, each one of us at different levels of maturity of faith, let us walk by the same rule, let us be of the same mind. Right? And my challenge is always to keep growing, to become more like Paul and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when it comes to this issue of contentment, I think contentment in the situations of life that we have, sometimes it is about the things in life. Things have changed. Buying a HDB, sure, these things are there. But then contentment is something that we must learn. Give me 5 minutes. Okay? Contentment is something we must learn. Chapter 4 and in verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. Okay? I know how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Now, let me just share with you quickly 3 things. The first learned is the idea of learning. Okay, I learn as a disciple. So the word in Greek has the idea of a disciple learning as a disciple. I learn these things along the way. And contentment is something that you must learn. Okay? Contentment is something that we all must learn. And Paul learned. He learned how to be contented. 2, he learned to know. So the word know is the idea of a deeper knowledge. Now, as you learn, you come to a deeper knowledge of how to be contented. To have more, to be content. I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. I know how to be thankful for what I have. If I don't have, you know what? That's fine. If I'm more, great. Right? If you have to spend a bit more for a HDB flat, fine, it's okay. 10 years' time, you'll be able to sell it, maybe double. You don't know. It's okay. So learn. There are times when you have to abase, there are times you have to abound. Now, the word is very interesting. Everywhere, in all things, I have learned. Now, the word learned is actually a different word from the first learned. This third level is I have found the secret. I have found the secret, the mystery. This, so you see, is at 3 different levels. He has come to the stage where I have truly found the secret to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, he's able to come to a stage where he's totally at peace. He has found the secret, he has found the mystery to learning how to be contented. Can you see? how at three different levels, Paul has learned. So he learns. He learns first. Okay, let me learn to be contented with my life. Now, at the same time, he's going towards the high calling of God, right? He's not satisfied. He's not happy where he is. I mean, not happy as in he wants to move on, but he's still rejoicing in the Lord, right? Because Philippians is about rejoicing in the Lord. He's not unhappy, but he's moving on. But at the same time, he's learning to be contented with every stage that he is at. So he learns first, and then he gains that kind of knowledge, deeper knowledge, depth of knowledge, to know how to go about it. And then finally he comes to an even greater level where he understands the secret to becoming contented with every situation in life. So he's in prison at this point of time. And yet he has learned the secret. So I think that's the challenge for us. I think the challenge for us is to be able to come to a level where we are thankful. At the same time, we are not unhappy with the situation that we have in life. Sure, there are many things that we can be challenged by. There are things that may create problems for us. But that's where faith has to become something that we fall back on. God is someone that we turn to all the time. We find that sense of stillness and contentment. And we find the secret. You see, that's, to me, that's what life is really all about. You can find the secret to be contented with life. I can tell you, you'll be very happy with what you have in life. But at the same time, you can still have ambition. You can still do well in life. You can still, but the state of your heart is one of it being at peace. Can you see the three levels? Right, still, can you see it? How wonderful this is. And that's something for us. And he goes on to say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Can you see the context? Now he says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And he knows. He knows that the Lord is the one that will give him the strength to be able to have this contentment in life. This contentment, not discontentment. I better rephrase myself very carefully. THIS, not DIS. This kind of contentment in life. And it takes faith. And it takes the Lord Jesus to give you the grace and the strength to actually do it. You need power from God to actually do it. I don't think for one moment that we all can attain this at this point of time. But it's something that the Lord has to teach us, guide us, help us learn. And then we need to find that power from the Lord to make us strong enough to be contented. You see, even contentment, we need that power from God to be able to do it. Can you see? Okay. Well, I hope this will help you and will challenge you to constantly go on to the next level. Ken? Okay, well, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to pray and thank you for this time. Though there are things in our life that we struggle with, there are things that cause us to wander with our own desires, and we just want to pray, dear Father, that you will help us to be able to look at the things in life, to be able to see your hand in life, and to be able to find the kind of faith that will help us to be happy with what you have blessed us with. Of course, in life, we know that you want to bless us more. We can achieve more. We can be better in life. And yet, Lord, we know that the heart can easily wander. And we pray, dear Father, that you will help us to have this balanced approach in life where we have faith, where we can just learn to be contented with what you have blessed us with. And we pray, dear Lord, that you will lead us and guide us. And we pray that you will continue to work in our hearts and our life. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.